the Deco Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future deco, modern, retro, and other related events. Also the stories that celebrate New Zealand's history and its people, as well as book reviews and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era.
Deco Retro, Deco Retro.
Have a proud history beginning with the Maori tribes who used the springs for their healing properties. In the 1880s, the land was gifted to New Zealand by Maori chief Mokina Hau as a public domain for development as a health resort. The government invested in developing the facilities when gold was found on Mount Te Araha, and the settlement flourished as one of the main North Island attractions. It became the most popular spa town in New Zealand, with around 30,000 bathers each year in the late 1800s, and the region's natural hot soda springs were renowned as a cure-all. The mineral springs vary in temperature, and some of them are naturally infused with sodium bicarbonate underground, making for natural hot soda springs. To improve access to the soda water, a bore was sunk in the 1930s, resulting in the world's only hot soda water geyser, named the Mokina Geyser, after the Maori chief who gifted the land. Today, the Mokina Geyser erupts approximately every 40 minutes and is one of the great free attractions in the Waikato region. Many of the beautiful Victorian and Edwardian era bathhouses in the town's domain have been maintained and refurbished, and Te Araha retains excellent spa facilities without being inundated with tourists. This makes it a real gem for those looking to relax and get away from it all. And today I'm here in Te Araha, and we're going to interview the lady who runs the museum here, Janet Parcell, who is the president, and there's nothing she doesn't know about Te Araha.
Good morning, Nancy.
Now, I think we could possibly start with like the early days of Te Araha, and you could tell us a little bit about like the first settlers here and the gold and all that type of thing. And then we could possibly move on to talking about the wonderful waters here, the baths. So, Janice, who, you know, how did Te Araha sort of get on the map?
Originally, the Ngāti Rahiri occupied the land where the springs are, mm-hmm. and Te Mokina Hau was the rangatira of at the time. About 1880, Haunui Wairahiko found gold up in the hills behind where the town is today, and in November 1880, it was declared the Araha Goldfield. By 1881, the gold in the Te Araha hills had petered out. It was very difficult to get the gold out of the quartz. Mm-hmm. So the entrepreneurs of the day felt they didn't want their little town to peter out either, so they knew about the baths and the hot waters being taken over in Europe, and they decided they would promote the hot springs that we know today in the domain.
Right, because like in Europe, it was a really big thing. It was also a very sort of social thing to take the waters. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it was going to happen in Te Aroha. How did they find the waters and who promoted them and all that sort of thing?
The Maori knew the waters were there. They bathed in the waters in their little... They didn't have proper baths or anything like that. They just had sort of holes dug in the ground. And sometimes if the water was too hot, they'd have a little spring with cold water and they would channel the cold water in to make the water the right temperature to bathe in. So the springs were always there. They believed that the waters came up through the ground from the sea and it was many, many thousand years old. Whether that's true or not, I do not know. The waters have a high alkaline content, similar to baking soda that makes you feel Epsom salts, so it makes your skin feel soft. And the baking soda is very good for for indigestion.
I didn't realise that.
Yes.
What sort of minerals are in them, or is that too complicated?
We have got a list hanging up on the wall. There's quite a few of them. It's changed over the years because we, as kids, used to drink the water.
We weren't
that impressed, but we always drank it anyway, just for fun. Mm-hmm. Parents used to get their big half-gallon jars and have it with their tonic and soda because it was sort of like soda water. Unfortunately, the mineral contents in the water itself has changed over the years. Council do test the water regularly to make sure it was safe. Mm-hmm. There was some big meningitis scare way back in the 70s, I think it was.
Oh, actually, I remember that. Yeah, that was quite bad.
That was bad. And so they sort of, from then on, they tested the waters. Mm-hmm. We had a mineral hot pool up where the hot pools are today, and that got taken out for that reason. So, because that had proven to be unsafe, they were worried it would become unsafe.
Well, better to be sure and safe and then keep it going.
Yeah, and then we were many years without a public swimming pool, and a group of people got together and promoted and fundraised, and now we've got the hot pools now. It's town water heated, so it's not mineral water anymore.
Oh, I didn't realise that. So it comes out of the ground cold and it's heated by electricity. Gas.
Conductor, is it called? And some sort of word like that.
Oh, yes. I didn't realise that. Okay.
Yes. But the spa baths, they're still mineral water. Spa baths water comes out of the same bore as the geyser.
Right.
So the geyser was one of the first springs that the Maori used, and it had a little house over the top, and it fell down, and around about 1930 it fell into just blackberries and things grew over it. And at that time they didn't have a public swimming pool.
No.
So they got a man to divine the waters, and he found hot water on that place.
Actually, it's interesting, that divining, is it? Yeah. You know, they're very clever, those people.
Yeah. So he found the hot water, and they engaged a company to drill down, and Mr. Jim Wilkinson was drilling down in 1936, and the water geysered out and scared the willy wits out of him. to the point that he gave the job up. But anyway, that was back in 1936 that they got the hot geysered water. And the geyser has been geysering ever since. It blows about every 40 minutes.
Right.
And it's the main source of hot mineral water out of all the springs. There were 22, 6 were cold and all the rest were hot, and that's the only good bore that's got a good supply of water left.
Okay. Wow.
So the geyser still goes. It goes best between 12 and 3, and the water overflow is used by the people at the spa baths. When you have a spa bath, they catch the water and then they fill the baths up for you to have your bath.
And they're all
wooden, is that right? Is there some reason that they're wooden, or?
I think that was just the fashion at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the fashion of the time.
Yeah, when they replaced it in about the 1970s, I think, they put the wooden ones in. There are some porcelain ones up there, and I think there's a stainless steel one that you can have the oils and stuff like that. And I've only ever been in the wooden ones, but there are the other sort there. Yes.
So that
was about in the 1936s. So they found the hot water, and then they built the Te Araha hot mineral pools, and then they got the scare, and then they had no pool again, and now we've just got plain hot water, town heated water.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there were other springs. There's drinking springs.
Oh, so where are they situated?
The number 8 drinking spring is beside the spa bars. The number 15 drinking spring is where the swimming pool is today. And then there were 2 up the hill, but you can't drink the water anymore because of the change of the minerals in the water. I think it's because they drained the land. And
oh, right, they've probably got other things going into it.
Yeah. So, but there's a really nice one called Spring Number 22 up on the track that you walk on along the lower part of the mountain towards the Tui Mine. And it's, they call it a ghetto. And it is believed that if you're newly married and you put your hand and your wedding ring in the pool, in the water, little bowl of water, it brings your marriage good luck.
Oh, wow. That's good. Send all these people whose marriages is not working out up there.
Yeah. And there's if you go up in the evening, there's a nice glow room display up there as well. Yes.
It became quite the fashion of the day to sort of come along to Te Araha and take the waters. And it was quite a social event, wasn't it?
Yeah. They would originally, we got the railway in 1886. Prior to that, they would come from Auckland, go to Thames, and then come up the river. Mm-hmm. Once they got the train, they would go from Auckland to Hamilton and across to Te Araha. Originally, the railway line was always planned to go to Thames, but originally it was to branch off at Waiho, just out of Te Araha, mm-hmm. and cross the river around about Mangiti somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
When they found the gold in 1880 and declared it a gold field, that's when they made plans to bring the railway into Te Araha. Mm-hmm. And we actually got the train to our town in 1886.
So Te Araha in those days was really bustling and quite, everything was happening here.
We were bigger than Morrinsville.
Good.
Yes. Morrinsville was there, but Te Araha, the gold mining just made it take off, and then having the hot water as well. The men of the day who owned the hotels, like there's a man called John Walker. He was also known as Long Drive Walker. He was a miner at Thames. He came and he built the Palace Hotel, not the building we know today, but on that same site. He built a big two-storied building. And in about 1955, it was pulled down and they put the building up that's there today. The Hot Springs Hotel was first one was built in 1878. It was added on to for the coming of the railway, and it burnt down in about 1900. It was replaced by a really, really grand building, and in 1972 they pulled that down, and that site is where the motels are today.
Is that the motels just on the hill by the... Yes, because I'm sort of staying in the... Aroha Mountain Lodge, which is just one up.
Yeah, you were staying where the hospital used to be. Well, not quite where the hospital. Yeah, right. Greg's in the hospital part, but he's the lodge part. There's a little house that was just up there. The big building, the Grand Hotel over the road, that was built in 1898. The reason that came about is that in 1896 there was a big fire. There was a hotel opposite the Hot Springs and the Domain called the British. It was sold and renamed the Club Hotel for when the railway came. Mm-hmm. And then in 1896 there was a fire in the Club Hotel card room. And the wind, it must have been blowing from the north, because when you see the early photos of the fire, the whole block of shops and houses were just burnt to the ground.
Wow.
But on the north side of the Club Hotel are still standing. And so the wind must have blown it right down. So right where the Grand Hotel is now, that was all burnt right down to there. In those days, breweries believed that a hotel built on a corner did better business than a hotel built in the middle of a block of shops.
Okay.
So that was, we believe, so they could escape if the policemen came.
Oh, good one.
So anyway, they built the Grand on that corner in 1898, which is the same year as this building, the Cadman Bathhouse, where the museum is. Mm-hmm. That was built in 1898, and the town also was declared a borough in 1898. So that was an exciting town time for our town.
So the museum, where we are now, was called the Cadman Bathhouse, because I've just watched a video and they mention it in there, and it sort of went into rotten ruin, didn't it? And then at one stage, and they completely restored it. Is that right? Or
quite. They had trouble in the floor, because they set the baths on the wooden floor, and if you've got water and no air, it causes rot, so I've been told. And it rotted out the floors.
Right.
And they weren't, by 1961, 62, 61, I think, they weren't, people weren't taking the waters the same as what they had prior. So it became uneconomical.
And sort of, it went into decline, didn't it, for a few years when it wasn't fashionable anymore. People were going to the beach, and the sort of bath, Te Aroha bars fell into a bit of a decline.
Yeah, people sort of didn't come and have the swimming pools, didn't take the waters the same as they had prior. They weren't coming down on the train either. People had cars and they were doing different activities. So then when they gave up it being a bathhouse in early about 1965, it was used for a while by the bowling club, and they used to have, the Rotary had a big conference here in this building.
Oh, gosh, okay.
And it was sort of used like that until about 1980. And then the museum was always out the back of the building, and then the museum got the lease to lease the whole building. So we've been here as a museum in this building since 1971, which is just over 50 years, I think.
Right.
And we've had the whole building since 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And so
this wonderful domain that it's situated in, so I was quite sort of, you know, overawed by it when I arrived yesterday. I thought, gosh, it's so beautifully kept, and there's a bowling club. So is it the council that actually runs all that, or who, you know, sorts that out?
Originally, it was put under the care of the New Zealand Tourist Board, and that was centred at Rotorua, and there was the Hamner Springs, the Te Aroha Pools, and Rotorua, and they monitored or cared for all three places. And the domain was a part of their taking of the waters plan, the same as at Rotorua. Also, the men who came back from the First War who were guests weren't strong enough to always get jobs, and a lot of those men worked in the domain as gardeners because it was recommended that they had light physical work outdoors.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. We had quite a large number of gardeners back in those days, and the gardens were really, really pretty then. We've got some photos of them with all the flowers in, but they had a lot of full-time gardeners. They had men who and women who were bath attendants, like in this building. We had 19 bathrooms, and they had bath attendants that came and you paid for your ticket down where the eyesight is today.
Gosh, okay.
And then you came up with your ticket and gave it to the bath attendant who ran your bath and gave you a towel, and they looked after the baths.
And wasn't there a doctor here at one stage, and they were giving all sorts of treatments? And
all the doctors have been interested in all those sort of treatments.
Oh.
Dr. Wolman was in somehow was in it. I can't quite remember how. There was Dr. Kenny. Dr. Lawrence, he came later. He came about 1923, and the big X-ray machine that's down in the Strange Wing, he sort of got that, and that was one of the first X-ray machines in this area where it X-rayed inside you.
Isn't that amazing? That's had an X-ray machine here.
And then there's a smaller one that's a portable X-ray machine, and Dr. Lawrence would take that in his car, because in those days the doctors went out to the farms. They didn't always come in.
Those were the days.
Yes, people didn't have cars. So he would take the machine and X-ray if they'd broken their arm or hurt themselves. He would X-ray them out in the field before they went to the hospital to be repaired or whatever. The other treatments that they had were there was called a light bath. I think it had lights in it. You sat in there. I can tell you quite a funny story about that. I got told.
Tell us that. That sounds interesting.
Apparently, there was this lady who was a bath attendant up here in the Cadman bathhouse, and her brother was a butcher in town. And they got talking, and she told him how they had this new light box, but he couldn't afford to try it out. So she said to him, well, you come up before we open up and I'll let you try it out for free.
Right.
So he turns up and she put them in the light box, and you were actually locked in because you sat on the little seat. They shut the door and put the bolt across and you were locked in, turned the buttons on, okay, and warmed you up. And then the buzzer went, so she trotted off to assist a person to have their bath and forgot about him. And it got hotter and hotter, and he was yelling out, and then suddenly she remembered he was...
Oh, my gosh!
...locked in there, and so he got out. He was very hot, and he never had any desire to try it a second time.
He never came back for a second one.
No. Yeah, so we had that. We have had down in... we've still got one of the machines. It's called a VD massager. That is fascinating. If you give me a reminder, I'll give you a little massage later with it.
It's that sounds interesting.
Oh, everybody tried on really enjoys that. There was also the electric treatment. They put an electric pad in the water, and you sat on that, and you had little currents of electricity go through your body. I did ask Kevin Wells, who made the DVD, did he know if anybody had ever been electrocuted, and he said...
Yeah, because water, and you wouldn't think it would be good.
He said it was only a low current, so I suppose it was safe. Yeah. There's another machine down there that you comb your scalp, and that's supposed to help you as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Out of Tiaraha and Hamner Springs and Rotorua, Tiaraha's museum has the most samples of the old equipment that they used.
Yeah.
I was told Rotorua threw these in a mud pool, so I have no idea if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
When I spoke to a guy who came up from the Hemna Springs, he said to me that there's nothing there. I've had friends go to Hemna Springs and there's just nothing there. They don't know what happened to their equipment. So we think we're very lucky to have some.
No, there is. I've been to Hemna Springs and there isn't. Yeah. You know, there's nothing, no. Which is yeah. Sad.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the tea kiosk up on the hill. What? Yes. It makes us laugh. There's a little note in our history archives that says, did somebody just write out an invoice requesting 3 tea kiosks, one for Hemna Springs, one for Rotorua and one for Te Araha, because they were all built at the same time in 1908.
Mm-hmm.
Ours wasn't very successful because it was up on the hill and the people wouldn't walk up the hill to have a cup of tea back in those days. So the tourist board put their manager, the manager of the domains, lived in the house, really nice place to live. Mm-hmm. And then when it was changed from the tourist board and handed over to the Te Araha Borough to take care, then it became vacant. And it's had a very, very good restaurant there for a number of years, but for the last at least 10 or 12 years it's been empty.
Isn't that sad? Because, is that because the tourists aren't coming or the locals aren't using it? What is the reason for that?
The reason probably is that nobody's thought of a good plan of putting something in there. There's been talk of having dry spas in there, but nothing came of it. We have got the spa bars. I think they serve well for what people want. There is the cottage cafe. That's a really nice place to go and have a meal or a cup of tea. So you don't really want another restaurant up there. It's just...
No, not when you haven't a large community, have you? And relying solely on tourists sometimes just doesn't work.
It needs some bright spark to come along with a completely different idea to create something completely new, and that will happen. Because in the domain itself, we've got the eyesight, then we've got the art gallery that's open on the weekends, we've got the spa bars, we've got the cottage cafe, we've got the swimming pool. You can hire the domain house, as they call it today. We call it the tea kiosk. You can hire that for small functions from council. Okay. There's croquet, golf croquet it's called, and our greens are very well drained and they often play in Te Araha because they can't play anywhere else. They play on those greens every week, our local groups. And then, of course, there is the museum right in the middle.
Janice, we've just about run out of time and it's been absolutely wonderful. I'm sure we could go on for another half hour because I can see you've got so much knowledge, but I have to close. So thank you so much for being on the program today, and our listeners, I'm sure, are going to be very interested in this because I know a lot of them come to the baths.
That's nice. Yes, tell them to come to the museum too.
I shall tell them that, Janice. Thank you very much for being on our show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Deco Retro Future Events.
Hello, I'm Philippa. Now, I have a notice for you. If you want to find that something new for winter deco, or maybe move on an outfit or two, come along to a buy, sell or swap day. Price any items you are selling. Bring a clothing rack or table if you have one. There's no charge for stalls. Now, it's being held at the Auckland Horticultural Centre, 990 Great North Road, Western Springs. And the date is Saturday, the 29th of June, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So I think it'll be worth your while to come along. If you enjoyed our program today, listen every second Wednesday of the month at 2:10 p.m. or download us anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/deco-retro. And we would like to thank our sponsors, Club Moderne, Art Deco Society Auckland. We will keep you informed of all future exciting and glamorous events to be held by Club Moderne. For more information, Email judith.moore650@gmail.com. That's judith.moore650@gmail.com. Bye for now.